Good morning, everyone. There was a young man who started out in life after his college career was over, and he began to experience the stresses of life that brings to us after we come out of college and get out on our own. He needed some peace in his life, and he thought the best way to do that was to get a pet. And so he decided that he would get a parrot. And at the pet store, there was a, shall we call it, a used parrot who had a previous owner, and he got it at a good price, and he decided to take it home, and he found out that the parrot was well-versed in the English language, so he bought it. However, after getting the parrot home, he became extremely unruly, tearing into the furniture, cursing at the new owner, screaming and yelling at every minute of the day, and this went on for several days. Finally, the young man had enough as the parrot began to attack him when he came home, and so he grabbed the parrot and he threw it in the freezer and shut the door. He could hear the screaming and the yakking going on inside the freezer, and then after about a minute, it was just dead silence. Fearful that he might have killed the parrot, he opened the door of the freezer, and the parrot quietly walked out onto his arm, walked up to his shoulder, and he said, I know that I haven't been the best parrot. He says, and my language has not been the best either. He says, from now on, I am going to be on my utmost best behavior. You will have no more trouble from me. The man was astonished. He says, wow, that worked. And he was just so pleased with the turnaround. And then the parrot said, may I ask what the chicken did? We look at a lot of places to find peace. What is it that we're looking for? As we continue to celebrate this wonderful event of Jesus rising from the dead, what holds people back from what God has offered us? What holds people back from believing and trusting in their own faith in God? I think we sometimes build barriers between our physical world in that of the spiritual realm, between physical reality and spiritual reality. Because you see, I believe the spiritual realm is just as real as the physical. The question is, can we reach beyond those barriers that we build and believe Jesus did what he said he was going to do and wants to do through us? Can we believe the miracles that Jesus did? Can we believe the supernatural? Can we believe that Jesus rose from the dead? Can we believe that he is alive? That's what the gospel message is about today. Accepting the fact that Jesus did what he said he was going to do. And accepting the fact that even though in the physical it doesn't quite make sense, you believe it. In our lessons over the past couple of weeks, we have seen a real fear in the lives of his disciples. They have been confused. They have been lost heart at times. They have been in turmoil in their lives. And for most of us, when our world gets like that, we experience some degree of panic, like they did. And there are different degrees of panic, but for the most part, that's what we might tend to do. In our gospel reading today, the disciples had already gotten the news of the empty tomb. But the reality of what had taken place hasn't really set in yet. They were still wrestling with all that has happened. And this fresh news of Jesus not being in the tomb. The disciples have come together in a room surrounded by their own grief and their own fears that they were experiencing. And this amazing thing happens. Jesus appears in their midst with these words, knowing the turmoil that they are in. He says, peace be with you. He goes to them and shows them his hands and side, and then he says it again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. Only when they saw the marks in the Jesus and that they became overjoyed. He's alive. It's really him. You see, now they know that not only they're experiencing the physical reality, but the spiritual one as well. A miracle happened, and they were right in the midst of it. They have become part of the fulfillment. And then Jesus does this odd thing to a lot of people. He breathes on them. Now, one might think that's a bit strange. Why would the risen Lord breathe on his disciples? He was releasing the Spirit into them. Now, remember, this is not the empowerment that they would receive at Pentecost later. This was the initial release of the new covenant, the forgiveness of sins. Think about this. When God breathed into the nostrils of the first man and woman, he brought into existence physical life, a life that was in perfect union with the Creator. Now Jesus, the risen Lord, breathes on these people who were present, and a new spiritual rebirth is brought into existence, a new life, a reborn spiritual life, a reconnection with the Father has begun. And then Jesus offers to them the very essence of his purpose in coming, the forgiveness of sins. If one seeks forgiveness, they are forgiven, he says. If one rejects forgiveness, they are not forgiven. This is why Jesus came. This is the very heart of the Christian life. Day before yesterday, I saw a video interview of the pastor of Zion Church in Sri Lanka, one of the churches that was affected by the bombings that took place and killed so many people. He was addressing the cells that were who were still out there who sent these suicide bombers into their churches. And he says, we are hurt, we are angry, but still we love you and forgive you. And I had to think about that. It really brought home what Jesus said on the cross. Forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do. And this is what Jesus is now releasing into his disciples. But furthermore, it's a time for them to offer to the world the same thing that he has offered to them. Everything that they had hungered for and have been taught is now being filled with the presence of God's Spirit. Those fears that they had, those unsure moments of being lost, now become calm. It doesn't mean that they won't be tried in life later on. It doesn't mean that they won't meet opposition. What it does mean that there is an assurance and expectation of the Spirit of God who is always with them as they go through those things. This is an inner peace. But someone wasn't there in that first meeting. Thomas had a belief problem. Thomas represents a lot of people that we come in contact with. Even though he was a witness, just like all of these fellow believers, including 10 of his fellow disciples, he just could not believe it. He needed proof. He wanted physical evidence. So until I put my finger in the marks of his nails in his hand, and I put my hand in his side, I will not believe it. Getting beyond those physical boundaries is hard for a lot of people. Thomas saw what had happened. So Jesus once again shows up when the doors are shut and locked. And once again, he gives them the same powerful greeting. Peace be with you. Three times again in this lesson, Jesus says this. We need to understand when Jesus said, peace be with you, he isn't saying just be calm and settle down. There's way more to it than that. In the context of this scripture, peace is a blessing from God. It is an introduction to salvation offered by God. It is seeking forgiveness or offering forgiveness. It is an overcoming of the fear and the bitterness and the sin in our lives. Every Sunday, we pass the peace. We typically use that as a greeting, and that's okay. But the reason we pass peace is if you have something against someone and you need ask for forgiveness, you need to go to that person before you come to this table and say, forgive me. May we have peace. The peace of God overpowers those aspects of life and allows a peace beyond our understanding to enter in. So Jesus comes again, and especially to Thomas, and he says, "Peace be with you. Here I am, Thomas. I'm alive. Put your hands, or your fingers in my hands and your hand in my side." And Thomas has a spiritual meltdown. "My Lord, my God." Jesus said to Thomas, "Because you have seen me, you believe. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus has given the disciples a taste of both the physical and the spiritual. He needed their testimony to be solid and true, and it was powerful. In our reading from Acts, Peter and some disciples were brought before the high priest, and they were charged not to speak of Jesus again. His presence, it presents such a dilemma, and it's a dilemma many face today when confronted to be quiet about who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. I made a decision years ago. I wasn't going to be quiet about who I was in Christ. I didn't walk around the halls of Lockheed Martin and say, "Jesus." But when the door of conversation opened, I was able to share. When the door of prayer was open and someone needed prayer, I was free to pray. The point is, I didn't hide who I was in Christ. I had to learn that, but I didn't hide who I was. Peter tells the rulers, "We must obey God rather than man. We are witnesses to these things. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him," Peter says. John reminds us of this in his passionate opening to his first epistle. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and put our hands have touched, these we proclaim concerning the word of life." You see, the testimony of the disciples is given to us that we can believe and go beyond the areas that hinder us. In our own walk, we have testimonies that are encouraging to other people and build up the body of faith. And I want to encourage you, if you have something that happens in your life and you have a testimony to share for the body, come to me. Let's share it, because it needs to be heard. If you haven't seen any of the God's Not Dead movies, I encourage you to watch them. It also answers the question of how we respond when we're told to be quiet about our faith. Because you see, sometimes we too may feel like we're locked in a room filled with uncertainty. We too at times have fears and issues going on in our lives that just seem like it's too much to handle. We too sometimes wonder, "Where is God in what I am going through?" We too may be told to don't speak up about Jesus anymore. We have all sorts of issues that go on in our lives that we lock away instead of allowing God to enter in. Jesus wants to come into those places and say, "Peace be with you." The question is, do you believe he can do it? Do you believe that God wants to do this for you? John reminds us in his epistle, "For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that we have overcome the world, our faith." In other words, through your faith in Christ and by the Holy Spirit, you have victory over the world. And by world, in this context, we're referring to anything in our culture that tries to pull us away from the presence of God in our lives. Then the true hunger that lives down within us, the hunger that longs to be filled, the hunger that can only come by being filled with the presence of Christ, gives us victory. It gives victory over the troubled waters of life, and in the end, victory over death. But even after hearing all this, some may have doubts. Some may be like Thomas. Whereas you may not be able to put your fingers in Jesus' side, you can turn to his word. We have talked about this so many times. It is God-breathed. The Bible points to the reality of who God is. It points to the reality of who Christ is. And we need to get to know it and learn it and apply it to our lives. And you know what else strengthens us in God's Spirit? It's our praises. God delights in the praises of people. Did you really listen to Psalm 150 this morning? Praise the Lord who praises God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the mighty heavens. Praise him in the mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. And he goes on and on through the instruments of praise. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Do you think that he wants us to know something about praise? It's important. Do you think that there might be something about praise that the writer of this psalm thinks he wants us to know? There is something about praising God that calms the storm that might try to cover us. I remember times through the years where I'd be going through a very slump in my own life, and I'll turn on some praise music and just start praising, and it just sort of calms the storm. When some of the disciples were in prison, they praised God and the chains fell from their arms. And out of those empty places, deep down inside, these places where only you know about, those places that have been hurt and are lonely or in turmoil by whatever is going on in your life, Jesus, by his Spirit, steps in and says, "Peace be with you." That's what he came for. That is the door that he has opened for each of us. There's no greater joy than to see lives changed, to see someone give their life to Christ for the first time, to see a person turn back to Christ after many years of separation from God, to see healing presence in people's lives, to see troubled lives transformed by the presence of God. We have an awesome God who wants us to walk with him daily. You see, what Jesus is offering is a gift that is beyond measure. Salvation is something you cannot acquire on your own. It's a miracle. Walking in the presence of God on a daily basis is a miracle given to us. Do you believe that God wants you to have peace, his blessing in your life? He does. All we have to do is believe it and by faith receive it. Allow his peace to transform the areas of your life that drag you down. To encourage you to open the doors of your heart and let the Holy Spirit enter in. Jesus is alive. He is risen. His Spirit is working in all who call on his name. Allow the very Spirit of God to fill you to overflowing with the desire and the expectations that he has for you. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that your desire is for us to walk with you in glorious peace, to know that you are there with us, walking us through this life, through whatever we face, through whatever comes our way. Lord, may we make a stand for you in all that we are and in all that we do. Lord, I thank you for your life-giving Spirit. I thank you for the ability to walk out of this place knowing that you are with us and that you will guide us through every situation that we face. So strengthen us, Lord God, we pray, by your Spirit. Help us to be examples in the world around us. And I pray for Christians all over this area, Lord God, that you would do the same for them, that they would be encouraged by your presence. And Father, we thank you so much that you want this for us, that you desire us to be in that fellowship with you and encourage us, Lord God. So we thank you. We thank you so much for what you are doing and will continue to do through each and every one of us. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.